of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all. Speak to our hearts, minister to us right where we are, and then lift us by your word and your spirit to the places you'd have us to be. And oh God, give us illumination, even in our situation, to understand that you speak to us so that you might instruct us, inform us, and inspire us. We give you praise, glory, and honor for what you shall say this day. In Jesus' name we pray, and every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise as you're seated in his presence. How many of you have ever had God to speak to you or promise, say to you something that he was going to share or do for you? And whether it's been 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, yesterday, last week, or whenever it was, you believed him, but yet it has not yet happened. Has that ever happened to anybody? All right, well, just keep living. If it hadn't happened, it's going to happen. Because God is a God of faith, and God speaks things even before they happen. And the reason he gives us visions and or allow us to dream is to move beyond wherever we are to the place he desires us to be. And sometimes you can only get there instantaneously in the spirit realm, in the faith realm. It may take a lot longer in the physical and the natural realm to get to where God wants you to go to. But one of the things you've got to remember is that God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. You've got to know with everything in you that he, one, says what he means and he means what he says. And God would not promise you anything. God would not show you anything. And God would not inspire you to those places unless his desire was to take you there. Now, there are some promises that are conditional. And those are the promises where you have to meet certain criteria. There are some promises that God makes that are sovereign promises, which means regardless of you, he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And so you've got to recognize sometimes in your life and sometimes in your situations, you may not always know, again, what God is saying. I mean, again, at the beginning, in the immediacy of the promise or the vision. But all you got to do is stick with him and stick with his word, and he'll make it so plain. Because if it is conditional, there are things he's going to tell you you've got to do. And that's the difference between a conditional promise versus a sovereign promise where he just says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to open this door, make this way, etc. It's then on God to back him up. So I want to deal with that one more than the conditional one for just a moment, because these are the promises where it's always designed for God to get the glory and the one he promised to get the goods. Always designed for that. So one of the things you got to realize is when he does it that way, he does it for his own namesake. Okay? God, has he ever blessed your life and you wonder, why you blessed me? I don't deserve this, God. He does it, according to Psalm 23, for his namesake. See, there are some blessings you got because you connected to him. You're his child. It's a part of the family's inheritance for you because God is getting glory from that and you're receiving the good from it. But I want you to see what Jeremiah has to say about it. We're going to walk through several scriptures just to show you the integrity of God and to remind you that God has not forgotten about you. He's not forgotten about the promise he made to you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what you're going through right now. God, if he has place the burden of bringing it to pass on him, can I tell you he's got this thing fixed? Can I tell you Jeremiah 29 and 11 has made it so very clear for us. He says, for I know, not you know, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now let's start at the end and go back through the verse. An expected end. Does anyone know what an expected end is? All right, Brother Brown. Something you expect. That's right. An expected end is at the end you get what you expect. Very good. Very good. That's how simple it is. It's an expected end. Now, if God promised you something, here's what you need to know, because it's really revealed in this truth too. You need to expect it at the end. Bottom line is, if he said it, you need to expect what he said to come to pass, and it really ain't got much to do with you. It's all about him. So it is an expected end. But one of the things that you get to hear God say and then see through Scripture is the fact that he says, for I know the thoughts, plural, not the one, but the multiplicity of thoughts. I think toward you. Now listen to this. Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. Now, again, when God talks about peace, his peace is always superlative. His peace is not the temporary peace that we get from situations and circumstances that last momentarily. The peace that God gives to us is the peace that knows that we know that God is in control of the situation. The peace that God gives and thinks about us and concerns us is the fact that he's going to navigate the situation and the circumstances so that even though it doesn't make sense to you now, in the end, it's going to bring about the reality or the end that is expected, because the truth of the matter is, as you begin to walk in this thing with God, walk in this promise with God, walk through this word with God, his word is going to comfort you and give you a peace that passeth all understanding. He's going to open doors along the way that's going to make sense, because the doors that he opens will be closer and closer to the promise. He's going to lead you in paths where you will, as you walk with him, begin to see it more plainly. In the beginning, all he does is show you the ending. Now, the reason at the beginning he shows you the ending is because he wants you to know whatever you're going through. And you might have some sunny days, some cloudy days, some rainy days, some stormy days. But at the end of the day, you're going to be right where he wants you, and you're going to have right what he's promised you. So what he does then is show you the end so you can stay focused to keep on going through to get to what he's got for you. Now, keep that in mind, because when we lose sight of the promise, we lose sight of the joy of having what God has promised us. If we lose sight of that focus and that joy, then the enemy can disrupt and disturb us so much so that he plays a part that seemingly causes our plans or the plans God has for us. And I do need you to know, it is a difference between the plans you have for yourself. Keep in mind, his plans are always, again, superlative as well. His plans are always so much better. His plans are always so much bigger. His plans are so much more grander. His plans are always designed, again, to give him glory and bless the one that he has promised. So understanding that, it again makes you want to know that God sometimes has something so great for you, it takes a long time to bring it to pass. And so there are some things that he promises us on different levels, but he's faithful on every level. So one of the things that you got to realize is, God said you're going to do such and such and such, and it ain't happened yet. You ain't dead yet. He's still working on it. I mean, here's what you need to know. Time is on his side, not yours. So if it doesn't show up in your timing, then obviously when he planned it, he didn't plan it according to your schedule. He says, I know the thoughts I think concerning you, toward you, aimed at you. Not the thoughts you have aimed toward me, or toward your own future, or toward your own, you know, desires. And so this is important to see, because as he speaks this word, he says again, and
thoughts of peace and not of evil. Now, one of the things you need to recognize is, too, that the enemy is a dream killer and a vision stealer. And it is always evil thoughts and evil imaginations and evil deeds that come from the enemy to try and dwarf or destroy the dreams or the visions that God has promised you because of what he has purposed to do in your life. When, you know, when evil thoughts start coming up about what God promised, you need to know where that comes from. He said they're thoughts of peace, not of evil. So you need to recognize that if evil comes up in the wonderful plans, the beautiful vision, the dreams that God's allowed you to dream and purpose for your life, if evil thoughts and evil imaginations come up, you need to know that's not from God. Because what the devil will try and do is switch your focus, change your focus off of the things of peace. Because here's the thing, as long as you know God's going to do it, peace abides. But it's when you start second guessing, God, are you going to do it? Well, you ain't did it yet, and the devil is telling me, you know, maybe I've done something wrong. Yeah, you've done something wrong. He didn't do it based on you and what you're going to do anyway. Because again, this is, again, his desire for you. For you. So I want you to see some things here again. Look at Numbers, if you will. Let's back up to Numbers and see what Numbers is saying about the integrity of God. Numbers chapter 23. Verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. So that's just going to say, is if you're a man, you're going to lie sometime. And it literally means mankind. Okay? Man, woman, it don't matter. If you're the humankind, you're going to lie. It's going to be either by omission, commission, volition, but you're going to do it. Bottom line. All right, so he says, but he's not a man that he should lie. Here's one of the things that you need to realize. God can't lie. Do you know why he can't lie? Yeah, the word is clear, because he's not a man. But because he is God and he has creative power in his word, whatever he speaks comes to pass. So he can't lie, because when he say it, Holy Ghost takes it. Genesis 1 gives you a wonderful diagram of how God operates. You see his paradigm. You see he speaks it, the Holy Ghost takes it and makes it so. So he can't lie, because once it is released from him, it happens. It happens in the spirit realm, and then after it comes out of the spirit realm, it manifests itself in the natural realm. So he's not a man that he should lie. He don't have nothing to lie about. Whatever he wants, he said, and it happens. So look at this and understand this again. It says, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. God don't have to say, I'm sorry about nothing he does. Now that's when you're showing up big. I mean, he don't have to say, I'm sorry for nothing. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, God is that awesome. There is no one who can make him repent about anything, change his mind about anything he says or he does. If he does it, he does it on his own. Or he builds in whatever he has said a way out so that he makes it conditional, so that if you choose to obey, you get blessed. If you choose to disobey, you suffer the consequence. But if he makes it authoritative, arbitrary, and absolute, there ain't nothing nobody can do about it, and he ain't got to apologize for it. He's not a man. Here's another reason you need to know this. He knows everything from the beginning. So if he knows everything from the beginning through and through, and what's going to happen at the end, what does he have to repent for when he knew what was going to happen before he ever opened his mouth? He knew what he was going to do. He knew what you were going to do. He knew what was going to happen as a result of both of you doing that. So why would he have to repent when he's got everything beforehand there at his disposal? See, that's what makes him God. He ain't got to wonder about what's going to happen tomorrow, next month, next week, next year. He already knows that. Already knows that. And so there are some things he's dispensationally placed in the spirit realm that will happen, and it is programmed to happen automatically. It is like programming on your, you know, DVD or your whatever that video recorder is. You program, you here today, but it, at that certain time you program, you ain't got to be at the TV saying, "Are you gonna come on?" If your electric is on, your cable is on, it's gonna come on if you programmed it right. Right? You can do it one time or you can do the series. And it's going to go just like clockwork. God has dispensationally placed some things in the spirit realm that are going to happen automatically when that time comes. That's another reason why God doesn't have to get in a hurry. Get in a hurry for what? It's all old news to him. Y'all looking strange at me. Why does he have to get in a hurry about your situation when he saw it before the foundation of the world? Get in a hurry. He's already programmed that. He don't have to get in a hurry about nothing. Lord, won't you stop by the hospital? He's there already. Stop by the jailhouse. He's in there already. Why are you sending him the way he already is? You don't know he's not a man. Again, I'm trying to help you to see some things about God that I think will be help you and be helpful to you. It says, "Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" See, again, here's what you got to realize. Because what he has desired to give us or promise us or share with us, it is his own doing. It is because he has spoken it, not stuff I'm talking about we've asked him for, but what he dropped in our spirit and said, "I want to bless you with, I want to do for you, I'm going to do for you." He spoke it. Now, he's not under obligation to do what I say unless what I say is aligned with his word, will, and his way. And then it is already what he has said. So he's really just doing what he already said he'll do if I allowed my faith to attach to what he said. So he's really not doing still what I want him to do, but rather what he's already agreed to do. That's the power of praying in the agreement with the word of God, because he's already said what he will do. And if you agree to it, he'll do it for you. He'll do it to you. He'll do it through you. But it's already what he's already authorized and agreed to do. That's why you can't get God to change his mind, because he's already said what he is going to do, and he's already said what he isn't going to do. And what we've got to do is align our request, our petition, our supplications with what he's already said he's going to do, because it's a waste of time to try to get God to change his mind. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not." Malachi chapter 3, he said, "And because of that, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." He said, if I didn't have my own word to hold me from doing some stuff, when I get angry with you, my word grabs me and say, "Hold on, God. Don't do it. You said you wasn't going to do it." And he listens to his own word, not yours. Y'all don't know the God we serve. I'm trying to help somebody here. Listen to what he says again. "Hath he said, and shall he not do it?" This is enough to shout and stop right here on. Listen at this. But then it goes on and says, "Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" See, if God has promised you something, he's going to make good on it. What you've got to do is be patient enough to make sure that you wait on him. Because I can promise you nothing you get in the interim is going to be as good as waiting on what he promised you. If he has promised it, spoken it, shall he not make it good? That's his word. That is his word. That's an encouragement for somebody, because God is so faithful. And sometimes, you know, look, I mean, when he made, again, I've shared this so many times, what he made the promise to Abram, I mean, it was 25 years before that promise came to pass. So, I mean, you know, sometimes he will do it instantly. Sometimes he'll do it, you know, in the not too distant future. But sometimes it will take years. But here's what you got to know. He is not a man that he should lie. And sometimes when you get impatient and try to do it your way, he, like Abram, will let you have your own way. But what that does is further delays what he promised. And then look at this. Before he could really bring to pass what he promised, you got to get the trash you done brought in. Because you don't store trash with treasures. They're in two different places. I wish I had a witness in the house. And so if he's going to bring forth the promise, you're going to have to do some house cleaning. You're going to have to get some stuff straight. You're going to have to let some stuff go. You're going to have to say, Lord, I'm sorry I got in a hurry, but I didn't think you meant what you said because you took so long. I'm just being real with you, God. Devil fooled me, hoodwinked me, led me astray, put me on a cliff, made me look back, made me second guess. I'm sorry, God, but I know that now you back up what you say. And see, sometimes you've got to experience God on that kind of level to really know that for yourself. It's in the word, you hear it, but sometimes it don't make sense to your flesh until by faith you have experienced God on a spiritual, on a supernatural level. Sometimes we try to put a square into a round hole and beat it there. We fail those tests. God is saying, this situation is triangle. Here is a square. Does it fit? No, but you're going to try and make it. You went to Sears, got you a little kit. You're going to cut it off and modify it. Try and make it fit. But the question is, does it really still fit? No, not at all. You miss your blessing and you miss God at the same time. Look at this. I want you to turn to, let's go to Ephesians 1 and 11. I want to share with you something else right quick. Because see, one of the things that makes his promise so wonderful, or his promises so wonderful, is the fact that God needs people who believe in him to do what he said he'll do and know that they are going to get what has been purposed and predestined for them to get. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now, first of all, can I tell you, if he gave us his son who was promised from the beginning of time, if he gave us a son, his son, the best that he had to offer, he has said, is there anything else he'd hold back from you? If you got his best in Jesus and everything else is less than Jesus, why would he hold back the less when he's given you the best? He won't do that. And everything else is less than Jesus. I don't care how big and how grand and how wonderful it is, it's less than Jesus. So if he gave you Jesus, understand God's thinking. There's nothing else that I can give you that can compare with Jesus. Everything else is substandard, even though it may be great, grand, and glorious in your eyes. So listen at this. He says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of who? His own will. You know, when God sat down and he fixes stuff, he don't call you up and ask you what you think about it. He don't call me up and ask me what I think about it. Matter of fact, the only counsel he sought was himself. Go back to Genesis. The Bible said, let us make man. Listen, let us make. That was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. There ain't no more gods. He didn't consult with nobody else outside of himself. All three made one. He sat down with the counsel of himself and worked it all out, figured it all out, did it all. And then when it got to the point when we knew anything, it was already done. Why would he not get my input on it? I've searched the word and it is conspicuously obvious that he don't care about what I got to say about it. I have differed with some things that I thought he should have done a different way, but here's what he knew that I didn't know. I only got a little bit of the picture. He's got the whole picture. I was going on feelings and emotions. He was going on facts and faith. And our whole perspectives were different because he had all of the knowledge, the totality of knowledge, and I was looking at it from a fractured perspective. So he knew at best, my best guess would have been mess. Y'all not hearing me here. So why would he want that? Sister Barbara, why would he want that? No, that's why, listen, when I lean to my own understanding, Proverbs 3:5-6, I messed up instead of trusting God with all my heart. And if I trust him with all my heart, I won't lean to my own understanding because it's my own understanding that done made me make some of the messed up decisions I made. It's my own understanding that's made me go down some of the wrong paths I've taken. It's my own understanding that's put me in a position that I wish I never would have been in at certain times and intervals in my life. So if it's my own understanding that's messed me up, how is it going to be my own understanding that's going to get me out? Teach, Pastor. I'll say it for myself. You ain't got to say it. So he already knows what he desires for my life, and his will is a perfect will. And if I ever surrender to his will, which is from his word, which reveals his way, I will never have to second guess his best for me because it's explained already in his word. And when I obey it and operate in it, then I get the rewards of it. And I've been predestinated for it. Ain't no accident. I'm not here by osmosis, and I'm not here by accident. Don't care what mama and daddy did. I was purposed to be here at this juncture in human history at this time. I wish I had a witness. And so when you recognize that, you begin to know God has a purpose for your life. God has plans for your life, and God's made some promises concerning your life. And when you operate in that thing, man, you begin to come up with a whole new level of understanding. Let's turn to Hebrews 10:23, and I'm going to let y'all go on and get on out of here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Now look at this, because I just want you to see this simple word. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Listen to this. Everything that you've got from the Lord or that's going to come from the Lord has to first come through Jesus Christ. So when you hold on to the profession of who you are in Christ Jesus, when you get it straight, right, and first with Jesus Christ, he who has already says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, the things he's promised, the things that he's prepared, and the things that he's planned for your life, they are going to be added unto you when you begin to seek him. You put God first, you seek the Lord first, and you can hold fast to the very things God's promised you, because here is the truth of the matter. He is the one who's going to make it come to pass. Even in your mess ups, in your mistakes, even in your troubles and in your trials, even in your good days and your bad days, when you start seeking God, when you start surrendering your will to his will and saying, God, I want what you want for me, and all of the things that did not line up and all of the things that did not come into the right alignment and all of those things that were not like God, when you release those things to God, you will see how he will begin with every decision and with every situation, causing the crooked to become straight, causing those things that have been downpressed to be uplifted, those things that have been exalted above him or tried to be brought low, you will see things coming into play and God opening up every door, making everything straight, operating the way that he promised to bring it to pass because he is God. One of the things I need you to know before you leave here today is he is faithful that promised. Now, here's what you need to know before you go. He knew who he was promising it to. Did you hear what I said? He knew what you were. He knew where you were. He knew why you were, and he knew when you were. And in spite of that, he promised you anyhow. So don't let the devil try to tear you down in God's eye when God is trying to build you up and show you who you are to him. And what he promises you is because of him and not because of you. I keep telling you, the gift always reflects the giver. It's not always.